MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting with Tommy Causa, portfolio manager at Equilibrium. Tommy, appreciate the time today. Inflation's sort of easing off and coming down, but it's still important to understand the impact on our investments. I mean, the key point, I suppose, is, I mean, we watch our investments, we watch share prices, we watch dividends flow in, but what we really need that portfolio to do is grow its purchasing power, in other words, sort of beat inflation.
Absolutely, Simon. You couldn't have said it any better. So at a minimum, you know, we do think that investors should ensure that their chosen investment vehicles are, like you've indicated, protecting the purchasing power of their portfolios.
And that boils down in many senses to, I suppose it's a nerdy number, it's that real rate of return, which, as I understand, is going to be rates or interest rates, less inflation, and that kind of gives us the real return.
Yes. So, for example, take your nominal interest rate being at 10%. Mm-hmm. If inflation is sitting at 6%, which is the upper bound for the South African Reserve Bank, your real rate of return is less inflation. So it would be the 10 less the 6. So essentially, your real rate of return would be at 4%.
Got you on that. When we're looking at a portfolio, I mean, in a perfect world, stocks are going to be an inflation hedge. They can pass inflation onto their customers. In theory, higher inflation, they can get higher profits. But there are nuances to that in terms of particular stocks and perhaps particular sectors.
Yes, absolutely. That is the case. So, for example, if you look at value stocks versus growth stocks. So during periods of high inflation, value stocks, which really speaks to undervalued companies, you expect those to outperform growth stocks. And growth stocks are, of course, companies with very high growth potential. And when markets dynamic change, the inverse can be expected to happen.
Yeah, and I think we saw a bunch of that last year. Certainly value had a good year. And of course, tech, which is the classic growth stock, really had a tough time. Property stocks, I mean, they should also have some pricing power in this space. And that's why REITs are always important in a portfolio.
Yes, absolutely. And I think our view has always been that, you know, just based on what you've said, it's very hard to call property a dead asset class. Mm-hmm. But just getting then into, you know, the REITs, so they may provide a hedge against inflation. And this is because, you know, during periods of high inflation, you expect prices and rental income to rise in line or according to inflation. And this is obviously quite theoretical, but it speaks to property owners requiring higher returns to offset their rising input and consumption costs.
So I want to touch on that theoretical for a moment, because, I mean, in essence, a portfolio construction is theoretical. And I appreciate that markets will often get in the way. But when we're looking at a portfolio, it is managing that theory and the longer term expectation from it.
You bring that across quite well. And I think for us, especially as Equilibrium, we speak to something called a strategic asset allocation. And it's important for investors to be aware of that, that it is rather a long-term, you know, goal. It is rather a long-term expectation. And you obviously make short-term adjustments based on market dynamics, but investing essentially is about, you know, staying invested and being in there for the long haul.
Yeah, and that comes back to, and we've touched on some of the asset classes, there are one or two I want to get back to. It's kind of diverse portfolio, and I suppose in a way, it's kind of been almost wanting to be ready for any circumstances that might come along. We hadn't seen inflation in over a decade, but kind of like it was always one day going to return.
Absolutely, and it has.
It absolutely has. What about bonds? I mean, bonds are attractive, particularly when you can get higher yields. Of course, I suppose the distinction there is that difference between a fixed rate or an inflation linked. An inflation linked, probably in most circumstances, the better. Although, I don't know, is there a space for fixed rate bonds as well?
There certainly is a place for fixed rate bonds. If you also think of it in the context of being able to receive a stable income stream in the form of interest payments. Mm-hmm. The only drawback, of course, specifically with fixed rate bonds, is that the coupon that you earn, as the name would suggest, is rather fixed. So given the fixed nature of the interest payments that you will be receiving, during periods of high inflation, your real return could be diminished. For example, we spoke about, you know, an interest rate or a nominal rate of around 10%. So in this particular instance, if, for example, inflation surprises to the upside, say at 6.5%, then your real return would actually come down now to around 3.5%.
Yeah, got you on that. So it's a risk there. What about the good old-fashioned gold? Gold was always, when I was learning about markets way back in the day, it was always gold was that sort of inflation hedge. Is there a space in a modern portfolio for something such as gold, which doesn't pay dividends but can respond and did respond truthfully last year to higher inflation?
I think there certainly is a place for it. Also given, and I think it's something that you alluded to, the diversification benefits. So it's certainly gold, but also, you know, some commodities, you know, within mm-hmm. the precious metals group, some agricultural goods, but also as well, oil and gas. Those do tend to serve as good hedges against inflation. So back in the olden days, you know, like you're saying, it is something that's still quite relevant in today's day and age.
Yeah, perhaps just expanded beyond that gold part. And I want to come back to the point around, this is around portfolio construction. And I imagine there must be points of time. You've put together a theoretical portfolio. It's serving many purposes. And at points, it must almost feel that perhaps you're wrong. I mean, I mentioned the decade of low inflation. It gets a little tough sometimes. And you've got to remind yourself what you're doing. And a big part of that, of course, is remind yourself that this is about the long term.
Absolutely. And so one thing that, you know, we do, and it's not to speak specifically about Equilibrium, but partnering with the DFM per se, is that I spoke earlier about strategic asset allocation, and I spoke earlier about long-term investing and being in it for the long haul, depending on whatever time horizon you as the investor have. But along the way, like you're saying, there are certain events that happen. And it's not only from a risk perspective, but there are certain opportunities that you can actually take from them. And we call this tactical asset allocation. So that is forming a short to medium term view in terms of how do we adjust accordingly for risk, but also how do we take advantage of opportunities that may be there in the market, but only from a short to medium term perspective.
A short and medium term perspective, and I imagine not so much wholesale changes, more sort of, I don't know, tweaks, changes at the edges.
Absolutely. Tweaks at the edges, very marginal. Nothing material.
Yeah, don't go crazy, don't go all in. We'll leave it there. It's Tommy Calls, the Portfolio Manager, Equilibrium. Tommy, appreciate the time today.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.